Okay, so we spent a lot of time this week talking about the positioning of different kelim in the Mishkan and their order. We spoke Sunday about the Aron coming first, Yasu Aron Atzei Shittim. Talked a little bit about the menorah yesterday during Rashi's Miksha. Moshe had a hard time. Did HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually produce the menorah? Did HaKadosh Baruch Hu show Moshe? Menorah Min HaShemayim. So one of the interesting kelim of the Mishkan is the Shulchan. Less ornate than the menorah, but more or less paired with the menorah. They faced each other in the Heichal on different sides, on different vectors or sectors of the Heichal. And that positioning in Parshas Truma is reflective of the twinning between the Shulchan and the menorah, because right after the Aron, the Shulchan is described, and subsequent to the Shulchan, V'yasisa menorah zahav tahor. So the sequencing of Parshas Truma represents the sectoring in the Heichal. When Yechezkel describes the Mishkan in Mem Aleph, he has a strange association. This is Mem Aleph, Pasuk Chaf Beis, HaMizbeach, Eitz Shalosh Amos, Gavoa, V'arko, Shtayim Amos. He's describing the dimensions. V'idaber Elai, Zeh Shulchan, Asher Lefnei Hashem. This is the Shulchan, Asher Lefnei Hashem. Mizbeach, Shulchan. Why are Mizbeach and Shulchan placed into the same Pasuk? Pasuk begins with describing the Mizbeach and then concludes, Zeh Shulchan, Lefnei Hashem. So this association in Yechezkel caught the eye of Chazal. And in Brachos on Daf Nun Hei, Chazal say as follows: Pasach b'mizbeach, v'sayim b'shulchan. The description in Yechezkel begins with a mizbeach, and the pasuk concludes with shulchan. So Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lazar both would have the following drasha. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lazar d'Ami Tarvayu. They both issued this drasha. They both taught their talmidim this issue. D'Ami Tarvayu calls man shebeis hamikdash kayam mizbeach mechaper. We had the Beis HaMikdash, the Mizbeach was the site of a karban, of a chatas, of an asham, of other types of kaparas. Bizman shein Beis HaMikdash v'achshav. Now we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. Shulchan o shalada mechaper alav. We no longer have a Mizbeach, so how do we achieve kapar? So you think tefillah, you think Torah, you think chesed. How do we achieve kapar today? Sitting at the table and eating food. Shulchan o shalada. There was a time we had a mizbeach as the site of ritual and ceremony. Today we don't have a mizbeach. Best we can do is a shulchan. Best we can do is a table. So this is Chazal's way of reminding us, and when we sit at the table, we're sitting in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Taroch lefanai shulchan neged sararai. You wouldn't think that you're sitting in front of Hashem. It's very physical. It's the time in our lives where we're closer to being animals, so to speak. Not in being wild, but in feeding our, nourishing our physical sense, rather than the moments in our life when we're closer to being angels, when we're studying, thinking, praying, performing good, kind acts to other people. But when a person sits in front of a shulchan and he feeds himself, it's dafka, the moments that you're closer to acting like a natural organism, that you have to remind yourself of your religious responsibility, of your religious encounter with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So when you're sitting at the table, that's like you're sitting at the mizbeach. And what does this mean? What does that mean? Well, first of all, something sounds a little strange to give this little bit of musar, but it's important. It's important if you see yourself as a bentara to work a little bit on table manners. Baruch Hashem, I'm sure all of you have great table manners, but it's not something that only your mother should have to scream at you at. And I don't mean you have to sit and eat. I know there are no British boys here, like in a fancy British restaurant with three forks and two spoons and three knives, and all ordered properly. Sometimes I get confused myself. You know, I'm just a one fork, one knife man. You know, from Brooklyn, we were lucky if we got a fork. But if I get a fork, I know how to use it. But to sit at the table properly, and certainly to respect yourself, to respect those around you, sit straight, not make a mess, put your food properly on the. A lot of the questions of overeating. Sometimes people eat out of a nervous outlet. So on the one hand, it's good, because as we've talked about in the past, when you get tense and you feel nervous tension, it's important to find healthy outlets. And for some people, if eating is a healthy outlet, that's good. So it's better than some more negative manifestations or negative expressions. But sometimes you have to be careful. Overeating itself. We say al chait on Yom Kippur. So a lot of the svarim, when we say al chait shechatenu lefanecha b'ma'achal uvemishta. So some svarim talk about machul of a mishtah, I may have eaten something which is treif. How many people in this room ate something which is treif, at least consciously? No one. But al-chei chachdenu fanecha b'machul of a mishtah, according to some svarim, means we overate, achila gasa. We ate too much, we ate in ways that were inappropriate. Chazal had negative words, they call people like that rav titana, people who ate just to eat, just to fill their stomachs in that respect. I remember I once was, no one from Brooklyn here, but you can imagine the scene. I was once giving interviews in a high school, and it was really, really late. I think it was in DRS, Benji. So I was there all night and I hadn't eaten. So I drove home, Brooklyn, 11:30 at night. Nothing was open except for the fast food, Kosher Delights. So I walked in there and I ordered whatever I ordered. I sat down to eat. And it was just so humiliating to watch the people. It was late at night. So I guess the people that were out were people that perhaps wouldn't necessarily have conducted themselves appropriately at the table. People were sitting on their backs, at the back of the chairs, throwing French fries down their mouths. And it was like the bar scene from Star Wars. I want to know part of this. Like, I took my food and I tossed it into the garbage and said, my dignity is so much more important than whether my stomach is empty or not. I'm not going to sit here and eat this. I lost all appetite. So I'm not a fancy schmancy guy, and neither should you be. But a sense of decorum and respect in those around you, a sense of eating healthily. The second thing is as follows, and let me give it more of a modern twist. One of the struggles that you're going to have, and we have someone that can share with us as well, one of the struggles is simply to find time to eat with your family, simply to find time for meals. Our eating habits have changed so significantly. And on the one hand, our business and professional responsibilities are so severe that unfortunately it's not a built-in given that we get to eat with our families. And second of all, not just our professional lives and professional behavior, but the way we eat. It used to be you ate two meals a day with bread and hummus and some meat maybe, and that was it. Today we grab a pizza here and a milkshake there and a donut here and a muffin there and the chocolate to get us through. And now, to Baruch Hashem in yeshiva, it's much more regular. And in college, it can be completely zany. And then somehow we'll meet a middle stage when you start building your family. So it's, I think the way to translate this Gemara in Brachos in a modern context is to realize the importance of meals, not just as a social, but as a communication moment. When you sit with people, that's the time to talk about things you may not otherwise get a chance to talk about when you have this really, really crazy, crazy schedule. I know that we try to set in our family a couple times a week to have dinner together, and at every dinner, everyone has to go around the table and tell us the best part of the day and the worst part of the day, just as a way of opening up conversation to people to share their lives. It could be other things. It could be tell us something you enjoyed today, tell us something in your week that happened, something hard, something difficult, just as a conversation breaker. And in particular, because I know the weeks are going to be crazy in your life, Shabbos. Shabbos meals have to be events. Shabbos meals can't be taken for granted. Shabbos meals can't just be, if we're lucky, if we're not lucky. Shabbos meals have to really, really be seen as valuable assets in your life, valuable assets in your week. You don't give up on them easily. You don't take them for granted. I know when my kids want to go away, one of the things they say is, what are you accomplishing by going away for Shabbos? We need a meal together. We spend close to 2-3 hours every meal talking to one another, spending time, enjoying each other's presence. And when Chazal said this in Brachos Nun Hey, maybe they weren't envisioning the world of 2014. When we're all 2014, this Gemara means you sit at a Shabbos meal with your family, with your guests, and it takes more than half an hour, more than 45 minutes. It's a long meal. Even when you don't have the time for it, you make the time for it. It's not something whoever shows up at the meal, let's have a meal together. You prepare for the meal. You invest in the meal. You prepare Dvar Torah for the meal. You don't take it lightly. This is the Shulchan that Chazal was speaking about. Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash Kayim. Just imagine that if you sit at the table the right way with all that it entails, it's like you're bringing a carbon to a Kodesh Baruch. Okay.